Okay, people.
For our final hymn this morning prior to the message, please open up your hymnals to 242. There's still room at the cross. I'm glad of that. Souls are still getting saved. I'm going to sing the first and last. We'll stand for 242. And good testimonies this morning. What a blessing that Ellie's granddaughter graduated from high school yesterday. She was able to go down there. Got stuck in traffic, of course. Massachusetts traffic is horrific, as I know, doing Uber. But God is so good. And before we sing, let me just say this, church. Though today is our final day in this building, the church isn't closing. The church is moving physical location, because the church is not this building. The church is you and I. Praise the Lord. And Lord's given me peace about this move, that it's for the good. Amen. That we're going to end up even bigger as a result. God is faithful, and I'm so thankful that He's provided this hall for us to meet in these past 5 years. What a blessing it's been serving Him in this place, the kitchen and all, and a lot of good memories, folks. You know, we've had our ups and downs, but boy, we think back. You know, we've had funerals, weddings, fellowships, turkey dinners, Christmas parties, all kinds of stuff, birthday celebrations, and it's been a real joy meeting in this building. I'm just so grateful for the Lord's faithfulness. 242, and let's sing the first and third this morning. Tonight we will be meeting at 6 for our final service in this building. Of course. Yeah.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide. It is grace so free, it's sufficient for me. And deep is its fountain, as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. The hand of my Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss or in gain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. One more time. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
Amen. Please be seated, church. I'm so thankful that God's grace is sufficient even to the final sinner that will get saved during this dispensation. And that won't be long, folks. Boy, oh boy. Well, let's grab our Bibles this morning. I want to give you a testimony as we grab our Bibles and head to John's Gospel. It's about a year ago now. I was telling the wife, and of course my sister knows also, that it was about a year ago that the Lord spoke to my heart concerning the number 500 and concerning our sermons, the 500th sermon. That something would occur after I preached the 500th sermon of KJV Bible Baptist Church. Well, folks, this morning is the 500th sermon. Yes, it's true. There's 499 on the website. This morning is number 500. Now, the Lord had spoken to me. It's probably been about a year now. So I've known for months on end that something was going to occur. And I was thinking, you know, maybe we're going to come under attack from terrorists, or maybe the rapture would occur, or maybe this, that, other thing would happen. And what it is that after today, we're relocating the church, which is you and you and you and you and me. And so that's what it was the Lord was trying to tell me all these months, that after we complete 500 sermons of preaching in this building, we would be moving. And we're moving to Manchester. Next Sunday morning, we won't be here. So if you come to church here, you'll be by yourself. but come to our new location in Manchester next Sunday, and services will be at 3 p.m. By the way, 3 p.m. Sundays. So that's going to be a real blessing. I'm looking forward to it. I've already got a fella, a neighbor of mine, who said I told him about it, and he said I'm going to come to your new location. I'm like, that's great. So we're not even there yet. We've already got, you know, people interested. So what a blessing that is. And I know that God's got a plan with moving us over there. And I know that it's for our good. And hey, folks, nothing's going to change. We're still going to support our worldwide outreach through the website. We're still going to record every sermon. We're still going to worship the Lord. We're still the church. No matter where we are geographically, keep that in mind. John chapter 1 this morning. Open your Bibles to John chapter 1. And we have an incredible passage of Scripture in John chapter 1 this morning. I would ask you to look with me by way of review and context. I want you to look at me at verse 19. John chapter 1 and verse 19, and this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him. Now that's John Baptist, not John the Apostle, in verse 19. Who art thou? And he confessed. And now notice the Jews sent the priests and Levites from Jerusalem, the religious headquarters of Judaism, to interrogate John Baptist. They want to know who you are, who is this Messiah you're preaching about, why you're baptizing these people. And you go down through here, and he said, I'm not he. I'm not even worthy to unloose his shoe latchets. I'm just a lowly sinner saved by his grace. And then they said unto him, 22, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah. And they say, they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water. But there standeth one among you, whom you know not. He it is, whom coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchets I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Here's my text, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Beloved, I want to speak to you this morning briefly on a sermon I've entitled, Message of Truth. Message of Truth, because this world is dying for truth. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the message of truth. Lord, how we thank you for John Baptist and his faithfulness, Lord. I thank you for the man's consecration. Lord, I thank you for the man's dedicated life, surrendered, sacrificial living for Jesus Christ, that he gave it all to glorify the Son of God and to point men to him. His message was a message of truth. And Lord, if there's one thing this world needs today, it is a message of truth. Lord, I thank you for all you've done through the people in this building. And I thank you for all that you're going to do in the weeks, months, and years ahead if you should tarry through our new location, Lord, beginning next week. Lord, we thank you that you're sovereign. We thank you that you're in control of everything in the universe. Yes, even our church here in Hooksett. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, and we thank you for giving us the message of truth. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, folks, in verse 29, John declares his message. His message was a message of unity. He had one message, and that was the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Christ of God. He never wavered from his message. He never altered it. He never modified it. He never changed it. The gospel is perfect as it stands. Now, in the case before us this morning, we have a message of truth being proclaimed by John. That is exactly what this world needs today. The truth. The truth is you cannot be saved from your sin without this God-man, Jesus Christ. Now, John Baptist was a notable man indeed, but his message was much more notable. John preached Jesus Christ as the answer to man's every need. Jesus said, amongst those that are born amongst women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Why? I believe the reason our Lord Jesus gave this testimony of John was because of the message of truth that he preached. Do you realize that John Baptist was the first man of God on earth to preach Jesus Christ directly to the people with his name? Wow! And Jesus said, he's the man. He's the prophet of God. Listen to him. So, in order to have a message of truth, you need three ingredients. I'm going to give them to you this morning. The first ingredient you need is the true messenger. Amen. If you don't have a true messenger, you're not going to have a true message. Secondly, you need the true message. And thirdly, you need the true reception of that message. I believe we can find all three of these in our passage before us in John chapter 1. So, first of all, this morning, church, in order to have a message of truth, we must have the true messenger. The true messenger. And to be a true messenger of God, four qualifications must be met. Listen carefully. First of all, to be a true messenger of God, he must see Jesus for himself first. Amen? Look at verse 32. In verse 32 we read, and John Baptist bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. Notice there was a time when John had not met Jesus yet. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost, Messiah. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Folks, notice in these verses that John the Baptist, as a true messenger of God, first saw Jesus for himself. Before he ever preached to anybody else about this Jesus, he met him, he saw him, and he received him for himself. Amen? In order to be a true messenger. Listen, John did not yet know him in verse 33. You see that? Verse 33 says, I knew him not. I didn't know him yet. But, further on, because the Holy Ghost had told him, you will see me descending on him and remaining on him. He's the one. John said, then I knew this was the Christ of God, Messiah, the Lord. Woo! This indicates that John had been searching for Jesus. Verse 33. This also teaches us that a true messenger of God continues to see Jesus. Hello? It's not a one-time thing. We also learn here that the true messenger of God preaches him as having come and coming. Look at verse 30. He says, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. John says, listen, it is him who has come, first advent, to save us from our sins, and he will come again. Why? He's a true messenger of God. But secondly, another qualification to be a true messenger of God is that he calls upon others to see Jesus for themselves. Amen? Go back to verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, folks, notice clearly here in verse 29 that John is loudly proclaiming to the people to behold Jesus and not himself. Why? He wanted them to see Jesus for themselves. This is a true mark of a true messenger of God. This he does plainly. This he does confidently. Verse 30, he says, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now, in point of time, John Baptist was alive before, was born before Jesus Christ. But notice what John says. He was before I was. He's gone. Amen. Now, this preaching of Jesus Christ and compelling others to see him for themselves, he does it continually. He doesn't quit. It is his only message. Look at verse 35. Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. Again and again and again, we see him with his message. It ends in verse 36. Behold, the Lamb of God. He's saying to the people, you need to behold him for yourself. I can't do that for you. John says, I can't have saving faith for you. You need it on your own. This he does earnestly. This he does emphatically. This he does without ceasing. Verse 36. Behold the Lamb of God. Drop back to verse 23 for a moment. He says to the Pharisees, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. Capital L. That's Adonai. That's the God of Israel. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. As said the prophet Isaiah. He's pointing back to Isaiah chapter 40. And he says, I am that voice of verse 3, crying in the wilderness, the messenger of the Lord of hosts, that he has come. Wow. This is a powerful message. You know what he's doing? He's calling upon men to see Jesus for themselves. This every true messenger of God does. But thirdly, another qualification to be a true messenger of God is that he leads his flock by teaching them to follow Jesus and not himself. Look at verse 36 again. Looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Oh, I love this passage, because John says, you don't need me, boys. That's the one you need to follow. That's the one you need to worship. That's the one you need to bow before. He is the King of Kings. He is the Messiah of Israel. He is the Savior of the world. And he leads his flock by teaching them to follow Jesus. You will never hear this preacher tell you to follow me, ever. I will tell you to follow the one who can help you through any situation you face. That's Jesus Christ. He had the power of God's Holy Spirit to induce men to be followers of Jesus. That's the anointing. He had enough humility to exalt Jesus Christ and to abase himself. Look at verse 30. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. He's saying he's greater than I. Drop down back to 27. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. He says, I'm not even worthy to bow before him to untie his sneakers. Wow. God, this man was humble, and he taught his people to follow Jesus Christ and no human being. He was humble. He abased himself. Something else. He had enough grace to sincerely rejoice that they did so. When he taught them to follow Jesus, he rejoiced in that. Look at verse 37. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. See, now others are following him. And you know what John Baptist is doing? He is rejoicing because his mission is being accomplished. Oh, this is so good. But fourthly, another qualification for a true messenger. He must, listen, he must lose himself in Jesus Christ. Everything he says, everything he does, everything he thinks, every plan he makes is to exalt Jesus Christ. This is a true messenger of God. He understands the necessity of this. In John chapter 3, look at it. Flip over a page, you'll be there. John 3, 22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea. And there he tarried with them and baptized. And John the Baptist also was baptizing in Enon near to Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Oh, folks, by the way, it gets real bad for John Baptist. He loses his head for Jesus Christ, but he rejoiced in it. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John Baptist and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, Jesus, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. Watch it. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, what's the next word? Rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. John says, I am so thankful for the end of verse 26. Look at it. All men come to him. John says, that's what it's all about. Getting men to come to him, Jesus Christ. Why? He loses himself in Jesus Christ. Every true messenger of God does. He understands the propriety, the appropriateness of this fact. Listen, in chapter 3, verse 30, look at it. He must increase, but I must decrease. He's going to tell you why. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he had seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. He had the whole Spirit, the Holy Ghost, completely in him. Look at it, 35. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He's saying it is appropriate for him to receive all glory and no man. John's was a message of truth because he was a true messenger. Fox's Book of Martyrs tells of Roger Clark, one of the English martyrs, who when being burned at the stake by the Catholics, cried out to the people, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And how suitable a message from a saint about to seal his testimony with his own blood. He said, you behold Jesus Christ, people. An article from the Alliance Weekly tells of the great evangelist Harry Morehouse, how that years ago, when still a young man, Harry was conducting revival meetings in a certain town in New England. But there was no moving of God's Spirit. No souls were being saved at the invitations. Day and night, he was on his knees begging God to show him what was wrong. The next morning, he was out walking and praying when the Holy Spirit moved him to stop and look up. He found himself standing under a great billboard, which read, Harry Morehouse, the most famous of all of Great Britain's preachers, evangelistic meetings this week. At once he knew what was wrong. He went to the campaign committee and said, "Brethren, now I know why there is no revival. You have mistakenly lifted me up instead of magnifying the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the most famous preacher of all time, not me. My message is always and forever, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." You know what they did? They took the billboards down. Souls started getting saved. He knew you cannot exalt a man, ever. You exalt the Son of God, the God-man. He's the only one worthy of exalting. But I see something else this morning, beloved. We've seen the truth that in order to have a message of truth, we have to have a true messenger. Secondly, in order to have a message of truth, we must have a true message to preach. Amen? Listen carefully. I see four things that make up a true message. First, a true message must declare Jesus Christ as having been sent by God the Father. Look at verse number 29 in chapter 1 again. 1:29. The Bible says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now, notice here in verse number 29 that he says, the Lamb, what's the next word? Of, that is sent by God. God the Father sent him. He says, no, I didn't fabricate him. He's been sent from heaven above, from the God whom ye claim to worship. Okay? This why? Because in order to have a true message, we must declare Jesus Christ as having been sent by God the Father. Now, there's something else that we need in order to have a true message. Secondly, the true message must declare Jesus Christ to be the one true divinely appointed sacrifice for sin. Amen? Look at verse 29 again. "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the what? Lamb." Lamb. Lamb of God. Wow. Listen carefully, folks. In order to have a true message, one must declare Jesus Christ to be the only sacrifice for sin that God the Father will accept. And this is what John the Baptist is doing in his opening message to the people, that he's the Lamb of God. Now, the people he was preaching to were Jewish. They fully understood his terminology. Lamb, sacrifice, blood, sin. And he's saying he's the one who is the final sacrifice for sin. Oh, this is so good. I am so thankful that a true message contains the message of the one true sacrifice for sin. It's Jesus Christ and his shed blood alone. But thirdly, in order to have a true message, we must declare Jesus Christ to be the only remover of human guilt. The only remover of human guilt is the Son of God. No one else can take away your guilt. Look at 29 again. "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which what? Taketh away the sin of the world." He said he's the only one who can take away your guilt. He's the only one who can remove your sin. He's the only one who can wash you in his blood and get you into heaven. Wow! I am so thankful. On October 3rd in 1986, the Lamb of God removed my guilt and said, you can come be in my heaven one day. Oh, what a message that is! Beloved, how good it is to know that he is the only... Listen to me, Gandhi can't remove your guilt. Muhammad, Allah, Buddha, none of them, Hinduism, none of those religions of the world can remove the guilt of sin from the human soul, except one. And it's not a religion, it's a person named Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. But fourthly, listen to me. In order to have a true message, that message must declare Jesus Christ to be set forth as the only object of true faith. Look at verse 29. "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He's saying, look it, you need to put your faith in that man, the God-man, the Messiah of Israel, to take away your sins. You, this is called saving faith, what we call biblical saving faith. When a person comes to the realization, I have sinned against heaven, I am not worthy to go there. And they recognize that God sent His Son to die for that sin, and they reach out in saving faith to receive the Son of God as their Savior. That person becomes a forgiven individual, redeemed, regenerated, born of God. You see that? He's saying, put your faith in His shed blood, and you cannot go wrong. You will make heaven your home. The true message, the theme of the entire Bible, is to bring men to look to the Son of God and to embrace Him with saving faith. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward, 'tis our Lord's command, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Oh, I'm so glad He does. And this is the true message, Jesus saves. None else but Jesus saves from sin. John chapter 3 again. Look with me this time at verse 14 and notice the words in red. 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. There's the message of truth. Jesus saves. And Jesus says, here is the true message. God sent me to save you from your sin. Do you believe it? Will you believe it? Will you receive it? That's the only question. Notice in verse 15, that whosoever believeth should not perish. Notice in verse 16, that whosoever believeth should not perish. Oh, beloved, the only stipulation for being saved is believing on Jesus Christ. This was John's message. This was it. This was the only message of truth for this world, and it still is today. Listen to me. Long ago, there was a young telegraph operator. He was under deep conviction for sin. After a sleepless night, he went to his duties at work. While still restless and absorbed by his thoughts of his sin and the possibility of hell's reality, he heard his telegraph machine begin to click. And with great astonishment, it spelt out these words, and I quote, "From the Reverend Harold Windmere to J.B. Walkworth, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." This message had been sent as an answer to a letter from a young man, J.B. Walkworth, who also was seeking peace for his soul. It acted as a double blessing, as both the telegraph operator and the young man, Walkman, both received the object of the message, the Lord Jesus Christ, for salvation. They both got saved. What was the message? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And they did. Dr. Parker wrote about John the Baptist. He said, "No herald of truth could live very long in the wilderness on just locusts and wild honey. If he had not a message to tell of one much nobler than himself and much brighter than his own twilight." Listen, John lived more truly upon the message he proclaimed than on the honey and locust which he ate. It was his daily food, man. The message of truth he preached is what caused him to keep on going. Beloved, there's power in that true message. Soul-saving power. Because it's a message of truth. in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen the true messenger. We've seen the true message. But finally, beloved, listen very carefully. We must, in order to have a message of truth, we must have a true reception of that message. I want to show you five particular marks that confirm the true reception of that message. And they're the same for everyone who receives it, by the way. First, the first mark of having received this message of truth is to believe it and to personally receive it. Look with me here in verse 29 of chapter 1 again. Verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him. He saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Drop down to verse 34. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Now, listen very carefully here. The true reception of the true message from the true messenger is received by believing it personally. Look at verse 34 again. John said, And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. John knows him now personally. And this is the first mark of true reception of the true message, that one receives him and knows him personally. You see it? He bear record that I know he's the Son of God. I know who he is. Every true believer does. Secondly, a second mark of true reception of the true message is to follow Jesus personally. Look with me again at verse 35. In verse 35, again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, John's disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? I love this. They said, Lord, we want to come and abide with you. We want to come and spend time with you. We want to get intimate. We want to get to know you. We want to worship and bow before you. You see it? The true reception of the message causes one to follow Jesus personally. They were no longer following the Baptist. They've got one mightier than he, one greater to follow. It's Jesus Christ. And because they have received the true message, they now receive. They now follow the man, the God-man, Jesus Christ, personally. But thirdly, I see a third mark of true reception of the true message. That is this, not only to believe on him, not only to follow him, but thirdly, to follow Jesus when no one else will. You follow Jesus when no one else will, if you're a true receiver of the message. Verse 43, look at it. Verse 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee. He findeth Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. He says, We found the Messiah. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Listen, folks, in verse 46, Nathanael did not believe he was the one. But folks, I'm here to tell you that Philip and Andrew and Peter and James, they kept on following Jesus. Why? Because a true reception of the true message will cause you to follow Jesus even when no one else will. Your best friend may betray you. Your family, loved ones, your spouse, you don't know. Your kids, your work associates, people you know and care about may forsake you for having followed this God-man. But you keep on following him no matter what, no matter who. Will not. Fourthly, I see another marker for the true reception of the true message. That is this. that one desires to abide with Jesus personally. Drop back to verse 38 again. Verse 38. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which being interpreted is Master. He's now their Master. Where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that whole day. For it was about the 10th hour. Oh, beloved, let me ask you a question this morning. Do you have a deep, felt heart, genuine, sincere desire to spend time abiding with him? Do you have a prayer closet where you go to him and you pour your heart out before this God-man and you tell him about your every need and you fall down before him and wash his feet with your tears and you worship the king and tell him you love him and that you stay with him no matter what? Is that your testimony this morning? Because it's a true mark of a true reception of the message. You want to abide with Jesus personally. They did here. And they did. Fifthly, I see another mark of true reception of the true message, and that is this. It's to go forth and tell others about him. Look at verse 40. Verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him, Jesus, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which by interpretation is a stone. Folks, you know, in these verses here, you see where Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, received Jesus. He first went to Peter. He said, Bro, I met him. He is the Messiah promised for centuries to Israel. You've got to come and meet this God man. And look at verse 42. And he brought him, Peter, to Jesus. And Jesus beheld him and said, Thou art Simon. And he gave him a special name, which meant a stone, because Peter would become a rock of the first century church. Oh yes, you just read 1 and 2 Peter. You'll see what a man of God Peter was. Wow! But my point is this. Philip didn't hide Jesus. Philip wasn't a closet Christian. He went and got his brother. First off the bat, you go to those who you care about most of all. Andrew, I should say. And you tell them, I found him. He's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. Will you take him too? Most of the time, they'll look at you like you've got three eyes. Most of the time, they'll reject you because of your receiving him. But that's okay, because our deepest desire is to tell others about him, that they might know him. Now follow me in closing closely, church. We've seen that we need three ingredients to have a message of truth. We need, first, a true messenger. We need, second, a true message. And thirdly, we need a true reception of that message. Now, since John had all three of these, let's see the results that naturally follow. Look in chapter 1 again. Whatever happened when John had these? Look at verse 46. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there come any good thing out of Nazareth? He's doubting. Philip saith unto him, Come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Now, he's saying that Jesus Christ knew that Nathanael was of the elect nation. He was a true believer under the Old Testament covenant, okay? And he proclaimed that. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, oh, this is good. I can't get into that. I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these, Nathanael. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter, ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Oh, church, listen closely. Jesus has now taken over the gospel ministry for John. John is no longer mentioned. The Lord has taken over, and he says to Nathanael, a true believer, you will see heaven. You will know that those angels, they come and go at my beckoning. They obey me. I am the commander-in-chief. I am the captain of the Lord's host. I am the king of the universe. You need to worship me. This is the result, folks, of John Baptist's ministry. The message of truth that he proclaimed compelled men to fall before the Son of God. I hope somebody's listening. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was pastor of the Great London Tabernacle. The year was 1857. One day before I was to preach at the Crystal Palace, Spurgeon writes, I went to decide where the platform should be erected. In order to test the acoustic properties of the building, I cried in a loud voice, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Unknown to me, one of the workmen installing seats in the galleries heard these words, and they struck him to the core. Like a message from heaven to his soul, he was smitten with conviction because of his sin. He dropped his tools, got up, and went home, and there, after hours of spiritual struggling, and those words replaying over and over in his mind, the Lamb of God taketh away the sin of the world, he found peace and life by beholding and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ for his salvation. Years later, listen to this, years later, the man told this story to one of my congregation, Spurgeon speaking, who visited him on his deathbed. And he said, I got saved when Spurgeon simply said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. What made the transformation in that man's life? A message of truth. A message of truth. Oh, beloved, I am so thankful for this glorious message of truth that I am allowed to proclaim to this world. I know not why he chose me, but I am so thankful that the message of truth is going forth from this church all over this world. In closing, let me give you this. We'll be done. There's one last thing I almost forgot to mention. And this is the one point that so many of God's people today don't want to accept. That is this. By proclaiming the message of truth, it might cost you something. It might cost you something. Go to Matthew 14 in closing. Matthew's Gospel and chapter 14. Jesus wants you to understand something. You want to follow him? Amen. But keep in mind, there may be a cost attached. And I'm here to tell you before we read that whatever the cost may be, it is worth it, beloved. Look at verse 3, Matthew 14. Verse 3, for Herod, remember John Baptist, message of truth? Yeah, that one. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. Yeah, amen. John was still preaching the message of truth. And when he would have put him to death, he, Herod, feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. Folks, look at verse 5. The Jews knew that John Baptist was a messenger of truth, a prophet of the Most High God. They said, you better not touch him. He's a man of God. 6. But when Herod's birthday was kept, and the daughter of Herodias danced before him and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. Beloved, listen to me very carefully this morning in closing. You want to proclaim this message of truth? You want to glorify the Son of God? It might cost you your life, but don't hold back. Because every ounce of tribulation is worth it in the end to proclaim. To have the privilege in this life, which is so short, of proclaiming a message of truth. Let me ask you a question. What do you think John would do? If he could go back in time and live his life all over again, do you think he might just become an electrician? Maybe a desk job or a carpenter? Nope. He boldly proclaimed the message of truth even louder than before. Why? Because the truth is the truth. And the truth will last forever and ever. Dr. Horatio Bona once remarked that he could tell when a Christian was really growing. He said in proportion to his growth in grace, he would elevate his master the more, talk less of what he was doing, and become more and more humbled by his worship and adoration of the King of Kings. Just like a morning star, he fades away before the rising sun. John the Baptist was willing to decrease so that the name of Jesus would increase. Horatio Bona. Beloved, let us imitate that true messenger. Let us bring glory and honor and praise to Jesus our King every day that he gives us here on earth, regardless of what it might cost. Father in heaven above, thank you for a message of truth. Thank you, Lord, that there are still true messengers of this true message all over this world. We're not alone. We are not alone. I thank you for that, Lord. There are faithful men of God proclaiming the gospel truth to all the world. And Lord, we will not quit, no matter what the enemy may do. Oh yes, Lord, you're moving us from this building to another building. Praise God! We thank you for it, Lord. Oh, we're so thankful this morning, Lord, that the message of truth, which you allow to be proclaimed to this world through this church, will continue. It will continue by your grace till you come. Because, Lord, this church is your church. It's not mine. It's not the secretary's. It's not Sister So-and-so. It belongs to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Lord, thank you this morning 1,000 times. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing our great Redeemer's praise. Lord, I thank you that the day is coming soon and very soon where there'll be no more message to preach. The night cometh when no man worketh. Lord, I thank you this morning that right now, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to proclaim the message of truth. And now, more importantly than that, is the time to receive the message of truth truly. We thank you for it today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Folks, let's have a time of invitation. Let's grab our hymnals. So thankful that we have indeed the message of truth for the world, what the world needs. And you know what they are? The message of truth? It's wonderful words of life, eternal life. Hymn 3 will stand. Altar is open for invitation time. I see everyone in church this morning is already saved. I thank God for that. But perhaps there's somebody God's laid on your mind and heart this morning that you want to pray for, that they would receive the message of truth and be saved before it's too late. If so, this altar is open for you. We'll sing the first and the second of hymn number 3. And, of course, we'll re-meet tonight at 6 p.m. Wonderful words. Message of truth.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Thunder lifts to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Oh, so free they came, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Faith and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love.
Oh, amen. Remain standing for prayer, church. Oh, such beautiful words are the message of truth, the gospel of salvation. Where would we be without it? Well, folks, still some praying at the altar. Praise God for that. Let's close in prayer. And Lord, we just thank you so much this morning. We thank you so much this morning, Lord, that you came 2,000 years ago. And Lord, you delivered to the saints the truth of the faith, that's the saving faith of Scripture, the true message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we're so thankful. You came and you told the world how they could come to live with you forever. And yet, Lord, today, in this day and age, it boggles our minds when we look out upon the fields and the highways and the byways and we see the veil that is upon this world of darkness, the blindness, the ignorance, Lord, the multitudes of those who are headed to a devil's hell, those who refuse to come to the message of truth, which is Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray this morning that even through this message, a multitude, a harvest of souls would come to receive it, the message of truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their Savior from sin. Lord, I am so grateful this morning that your arms are wide open. We sang it this morning. There's still room at the cross for you. There's still room at the cross for you. Whosoever you are, you can be saved. And Lord, I pray that I might get letters, emails this week even, messages from people all over the world who receive the truth of Jesus Christ and then go forth boldly proclaiming it. Not fearing man, but fearing God and loving his Son supremely. We thank you for it today, Lord, and all you're going to do. For without you, we can do nothing. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord, people. At 6 o'clock tonight, our final service in this building, if you're able.